start spreading the news, because we are leaving today, and you, the listener, are going to be a part of it, as Eric Anthony and Daff J are heading to New York City. Episode 110 of The Cave of Solitude. We are currently sitting at the very, 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 very back of the plane, and Daff J is with me.
Listen, you know that question that Martin asked me? What would I say? What would be the thing that I would say if the whole world was listening?
Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. One word from flight deck, the captain speaking. He's just finishing uploading last of the cargo. Should be pushing back, hopefully, in the next 5 minutes, right on time.
It's the voice of God.
Starting off runway 24, it will be a left-hand turnout. Really lucky, until we get above 10,000 feet, once we get above the clouds, it should be mostly smooth.
Traveling with us, people. You're coming for the whole trip, even the pilot giving instructions.
Area. It's going to be turbulent. There's strong gusty surface winds, actually quite strong. And,
well, we might not make it.
gusting up to about
gusty winds in the
35 miles an
Big
hour.
Apple. I was going to say the Windy City, but it's not the Windy City.
Air Canada, we do appreciate your business. Thank you.
I will not say all of that. Can we please be the type of people that when you travel with carry-on luggage and you are assigned a specific seat, for example, let's say 26A, put your overhead luggage above your seat versus trying to be sneaky about it and putting your luggage at the front of the plane or somewhere else because it messes up the system for every other passenger on the plane.
That is a public service announcement from Lady J, the Insane Mercy.
And if I was a flight attendant, I'd have every person wear their jacket or sit on it or roll it up and put it at your feet. I don't want to see no coats in the overhead. That's unnecessary, taking up space for a perfect... And a hat. If you have a hat, wear it or put it on your lap. None of this little scarf business that he said, no, on the overhead. You just put it, take it with you and leave the space for the people and their luggage.
I totally 100% agree with you. Now, Daff J, and to the listeners, this is episode 110. 100 episodes ago, when the Cave of Solitude was very young and just off the ground, we went to New York City and did one of our first episodes on the top of the rock. Now we are going back 100 episodes later celebrating it. Now I'm quiet right now because we are on the plane. And if you are still listening 3 minutes in, this is your comic book and pop culture podcast. This is going to be a very, very fun episode. We are going to be on location throughout New York City. It's going to be a blast. Stick with us. We will get back to you as soon as we land. Daff J, do you have any more comments or public service announcements for any that are listening?
That overcoat, I don't understand why that's there. Why? Yeah, take it down. Take it down. He's holding it, trying to make space for something else to then put the over... No, he needs to say, whose is this? Take it with you. Who's this?
Okay, everybody, we will check in with you in a couple of hours.
Please, and spread the word. Why he's going back and forth with the overcoat?
Okay, we've landed. We are now in New York, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of. It's a city where there's nothing you can't do. Now that you're in New York, Daff J, how's your flight?
It was good. It was fast. It was a good flight.
It's such a good flight that you don't even get a chance to take a nap because it's so quick. You're up and down, which is
briefly.
I needed to.
That's a skill of yours.
The magic trick. That's my superpower. Fall asleep anywhere. So since we've been here for, what is it, like 2 hours now? We dropped our things off at the hotel on Lexington Avenue, 525 Lexington Avenue, is where you'd be able to find us if you were here, which won't matter when you listen to this. But anyhow, we found a pizzeria that we wanted to go to because, okay, I looked it up and just said, okay, here's one on Lexington. We're going to go for a walk down. But on our walk down, this is the important part. Pizza was delicious. What would you rate it out of 10 slices?
12 out of 10 slices.
12 out of 10. And it was it the catch up for it was thin crust, which is right up your alley.
Right up the alley.
Now on our way there, it was a very special walk. One, because we didn't know how far it was going to be, but two, we saw not just the DeLorean, but a DeLorean kitted up as the time machine, and the guy driving it
with a Doc in it.
He literally was dressed like he was Doc, and I said, "You see, that's why I love New York." He was at the light, ready to hit 88 miles per hour, and you shouted to him and said, "As you videotaped him, we're gonna post a video for people to see the DeLorean that was in Manhattan." You said, "Can I get a smile?"
Gave me the New York look. Just
gave like a quick little New York. Oh, hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
That was about it. And then he had to go. He had places. Doc had places to go, but it was legitimately a kitted up DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walked by a comic book shop. Appropriate. I repped for our local shops in Toronto.
Yes, you did.
And it's already been eventful. So tomorrow, where we will pick up this podcast, we will be hitting up the Museum of Modern Art.
Also known as the MoMA.
And it's our first time going to the MoMA. We've done the Met twice. Now we're going to be cultured. We're becoming more and more cultured every time we come here, Dash J. So we're going to call it a night. We're going to rest up because it's late. Everything's closing down in New York. It's the city that doesn't sleep, but now we are back in our hotel. And we are going to wash up for PJs. Fresh for the next day. We'll be back with everybody at Second Avenue Diner tomorrow morning.
Yes,
talking
sir.
About New York thing. Then the podcast is really going to pick up. But
this is just a play by play.
This is play by play. You're traveling with us. Enjoy the ride, everybody.
Night night.
Okay, so we're back. Do you consider this to be day one or day two, Daff J?
This is day two.
This is day two in your books? All right, so we're starting day two, bright or cloudy and early. It's a rainy New York day, but we are at the Bloom's restaurant. Bloom's Delicatessen restaurant, where I'm getting my fresh New York coffee, a three egg meal with corned beef hash. And what are you getting?
I'm getting the healthy line.
Oh, brother.
Avocado artichoke omelet.
Are you excited?
I'm interested in seeing what it's all about.
There's no cheese in it. Is that a deal breaker for you?
No, there's... Well, I was trying to find something else. A little saucy, cheesy. But I wanted to give it a try. I like artichokes. I like avocado. I've never thought of putting them in eggs before. So I'm going to go for it.
I'm interested. I'm the one who actually recommended it because I'm a fan of artichoke, and avocado's good mixed with food. I can't eat avocado just as a slice on its own. Yeah,
oh,
I know
I can.
You can. With a little bit of, what do you put,
I
sugar
on
it?
I just eat it right out of the shell. Right out the shell.
I don't know, it's got
on
a texture.
Its own. I remember as a kid though, I didn't like eating avocado as is, so I would put sugar on it and eat it out the shell.
Can you still do that?
My preference is just not to anymore, because I think I would die.
Okay, I don't think people listening are interested in our breakfast habits, but we are in the city that never sleeps, the Big Apple. I want to ask you, because I think we've documented it a little bit on the show, but let's talk about New York a little bit, the city itself. What is it, the appeal to you of what... why this city particularly so special for you?
On a personal level, it's where my family was.
Okay.
So this was a place where I considered my second home. And it was just fun being here.
Right.
But yeah.
So it was the getaway spot. It was like the little, you knew you were going to come here, play with your cousins, have fun.
Yeah, like go play ball, handball up the street. You know, you go to the bodega, you know, people know you. You didn't do your major grocery shopping for the week. We went every day to get like the fresh jamon or the anything like
my family would do things day by day kind of thing, but it was like always out and about. It was always something to do. And as a kid, I guess it was fun, but now as an adult, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so the hustle and bustle of New York City and what I grew up with, I loved it because it was always an adventure. But now it's like, get me out of here.
Especially when it's raining.
Especially when it's raining.
Is your love affair over with the city? Like, when you're here now, do you just feel like you're in Toronto again?
It's a different love affair, I think, because now that there's a big difference between visiting family and vacation. Coming to New York was never vacation. It was, we're seeing the family, we're going to see the cousins, so we're going to the doctor's appointments with them, we're going to, we're still going to church, we're still doing all the everyday things, we're still grocery shopping, we're still doing all that stuff. I mean, we would go to the beach once in a while, and that was a big event. We'd go to Splish Splash.
Yeah.
It was like the Wild Water Kingdom, I guess.
Oh, okay. I never heard of this.
Yeah. And those were cool because, and we would all cram into my aunt's little car, mm-hmm. and take off. But most everything was always walking. Everything was very close by.
And this was in downtown Brooklyn.
Yes. So that was everyday life, as opposed to now. Now that my family doesn't live here anymore, they all went down south. Now I'm actually seeing the city for the third time as a tourist. So I'm doing things that I did before in a mundane fashion, but now I'm actually stopping and seeing the sights. I'm like, oh, there's Grand Central Terminal. We're not just going here because we need to go somewhere. We're here to see it.
Right.
You know, we're not just driving on
soaking it in.
Yeah, we're not just driving on the Brooklyn Bridge because we got to get from here to there. We're actually I'm actually embracing the moments, right? The cityscape.
Right.
Stuff. So it's a different experience.
And as a tourist, what kind of, or as a tourist, but I guess even though you've come here as a tourist now for three visits, you've spent a good portion of your life. You spent a good portion of your life here. Like, this was your March break, Christmas break, summer vacation.
Yeah.
So months, if not accumulated time that would add up to years,
mm-hmm.
you've spent here. What comes to your mind when you think of New York City? Like, what are the things that kind of define it for you?
The Cuban sandwiches.
Okay. Yeah.
Or I think our food is coming. Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we take a break? Go back. You want to eat? You want to have a meal?
Why not? Even, I drink on the show.
Even right? Me and Ricky Lima took a break when the food came. Let's just take a quick break. Enjoy some of the food. We'll get right back to this conversation. We left off talking about the things that define New York for you. You said Cuban sandwiches. Be right back. Okay. Cuban sandwiches. Let us continue that. Was your breakfast good?
Yeah, it was good.
How was the artichoke and avocado?
I feel like I could have used some cheese, but without it, only because I like cheese.
Who doesn't like cheese?
I thought it was good.
Corned beef hash?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
delicious. I don't know if I've ever had it before.
It looked gross, but it was very good. Wet dog food. I didn't say it while you ate it.
It was good though, right? You tried some?
I did try it. I was hesitant, and that's what I thought. I kind of gagged a little. But I tried it.
The corned beef hash. It's good. At Bloom's Delicatessen.
You don't even know where you're at.
I know exactly where I'm at.
You know where we're at? We're at East 40th. 40th?
Lexington and 40.
That's what I was squinting.
You didn't know what number you were at. Okay, keep telling me more about your definitive New York things. What are the things you think about when you think of New York? Cuban sandwiches. That's the first thing that comes to mind, is a Cuban sandwich.
You know what? The first thing that comes to mind is my tia's kitchen.
Okay.
First thing.
That's a good pick.
And the flight of stairs that we would take to go to apartment 2R.
That wasn't a good thing. Those stairs were the worst.
No, it wasn't.
It was worse.
No, it had a charm.
Not when you had groceries. No charm with the groceries and the water.
What handball. Did I say that?
Yeah. Is there any like movies or music or buildings or, you know, your definitive New York things are definitively New York. Handball in the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going grocery shopping at the local bodega. Mm-hmm. Like yours is more of like living here. I think, and that's a very cool take on it. I like hearing that. Taking the train.
So the thing is, even though, and my aunt had a car. I remember her having a car when we were kids. But as soon as everybody could start taking the metro on their own,
that became
she got
thing.
Rid of that thing.
Yeah.
You didn't need a car.
No, it's silly. It's almost silly.
You don't need a car here, and.
Unless you work outside of the city.
And right, but even then, they have so many modes of transportation. You go to Port Authority, you can take a train, a bus, or whatever. You have Grand Central Terminal. Yeah, there's so many ways, avenues, ferries. There's so many ways to get around. As opposed to in our city, it's like you need a car.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really close by.
Yeah.
And if it is, it's like a big metropolitan type of chained supermarket. And
right.
They charge you for grocery bags.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
Here, you can go into a little bodega, you can go into these little shops and find what's needed in the moment. And that's it. It was, I don't know, simpler times back then.
Can I share a story?
Tell me.
So, I've been in love with New York City years before I ever got here. For me, it's the mecca of everything that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And then when me and you were in school together, and like we were 15 at the time, this is before we became a couple. I remember me and you were talking, and you and I had said that your family lives in New York City, and I was always telling you about my hip hop stuff that I loved. And
did you use me?
No. Yes.
Were you?
No. But you had said that you weren't born in Toronto. You said you were born in Brooklyn.
I lied.
Well, I wasn't gonna even get into to that whole thing. But you told, and I was convinced, and I thought it was the coolest thing that I was friends with, and then later on, my girlfriend was from Brooklyn.
I was manipulative. I was scheming.
And I was
you
like,
wanna know what it is?
Yeah.
You wanna know why I said that?
Why?
Because I felt it in my heart.
And
I'm telling you, and it sounds like a cheap like, oh, that's ridiculous. Okay, can I just say that little dog is wearing a yellow raincoat with a hood. Do you see this?
I see it.
Do you see this right now?
You gotta take a picture.
Amazing. His butt is out there.
What good is a raincoat if your butt's
wet? Look at it with the hood on and everything. What was this saying? Oh, yeah. It sounds like I can make an excuse. Like, well, I wasn't sure. I really did feel this was my home. It was never, even if it was a long weekend,
right.
This is where we would come. And it wasn't like, oh, we needed to fly. We would get on a bus or we would drive. This is outside of my house. This is
your house, yeah.
Yeah. So it felt like a natural thing to say.
Right. And it seemed it because I believed you until your mom exposed your schemes.
She didn't have my back on that.
No, not at all. But I was so in love with that concept and idea of New York City and all the things that came with it that having a girlfriend from New York City was the coolest thing to me too. So for me, like I said, everything I love and has roots to me in New York City. I can't, no, and it isn't by trying that to have that. Like I love hip hop growing up. And all my favorite hip-hop artists made New York seem like an organism. Like, it was not just the city they were from, but it was a character in their stories.
Right.
Hearing about Brooklyn and Bedford-Stuyvesant and Queensbridge and the Bronx and trying to figure out in my mind a mental map of where all of these characters are in this one small pocket. They make the city sound so huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Queens. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Manhattan. I'm from Staten Island. And it's like, you guys are 20 minutes from each other, but the world is so large and there's so many stories. And then add to that, not that I've ever wanted to be a part of it, but I've always been enamored by the Italian mafia in New York City because the stories seem fake, mm-hmm. but they were all real.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk down these streets and you realize, oh, that's the little social club that so-and-so used to hang out at, or around the corner of our hotel is Spark Steakhouse. Like, there's millions of stories. You're like, is it possible that everything was taking place
here
in this city?
Yeah.
And then add to that, I mean, comic books, this is really the home of American comic books, the way we know it today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different
now. New York
now.
Is the epicenter of the world.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And so for me, everything that I'm emotionally connected to comes from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And to have come here the first time with you, even Seinfeld, I mean, I love, that's my favorite television show of all
time. The
first
time you came to New York, we took you to Tom's restaurant.
I said,
you
I need
requested?
To, I requested it, and it was completely out of the way, completely unrealistic. And to me, I had to see it just to take a picture under the sign.
You
that
did.
We have a picture. And so all of the things that I was into were all here. And it took me up until 21 years old to get here. And I just wanted to soak it all in, and you can't just in a one trip. There's just so much. So I'm always thrilled to come back here because I feel like I'm going to discover something new and authentic, and there's going to be a story behind it. You go to the museum, you enter a whole new world, and you go into Central Park, and it's like, how are we in the forest in the middle of a concrete jungle? Like, it's just, it blows my mind.
Even just taking the train in the city is an experience in itself. I mean, and I guess every city has that. It becomes mundane at some point.
Yeah.
But there's something about the transit system here, because it's underground. It's not just underground.
No.
It's also above ground.
No.
So just being on the train, is one of my favorite places to be in this city.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you,
it's,
when we
it's,
went, when we would take the R or the N train into the city from Brooklyn, the view, it would never get old for me, even though I've been doing it for years. It never got old. But when I'm back home, it's just the tunnel that I'm stuck in because they have signal problems. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of above ground transit that I've, the routes that I've had to take to get to Bronx or to Brooklyn or into the city. There's, even though you're in this claustrophobic metal tube, there was still breathing space in a way, visually and
it's definitely a character in the city, right?
Yeah.
The transit system here, it's so colorful. You've got so many different characters. It takes you to so many spots of, I mean, this isn't hyperbole, but it's historical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take a train up to Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees was another thing that I loved growing, like, during that time of life. Just the pinstripes, the whole history of the team, and the Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, and it's just like, is it possible that this city
here
has something, a story to be told that was special? Outside of Toronto, I really, really, really love Toronto a lot. And I love Toronto more.
Yeah,
after
we're not talking about hometown.
No, not at all. It's, living in Toronto is, I love it. I love that city. But outside of living in Toronto, which I don't know if I want to live anywhere else, I could live in New York. And most people are like, oh, I could spend a day there, and that's about it. For me, I could totally, We're gonna keep
it's
it.
It's my own. How do I say it? I like our city, but I guess because we live in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe with some time that would happen here eventually. Like, you just want to go home. But I find that living in the city, the commute and the...
And I think that's where we differ, because I enjoy taking the transit into the city. I enjoy working in the city. I can walk into the city every weekend and hang out there.
Yeah, you can.
I really love that. And I love Toronto, knowing all my spots. In New York, it's finding new spots. It's part of the record comic book digging in the crate thing in my personality,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like when I'm in New York, the whole thing is digging in a crate.
Right.
Who knows what. So we're going to keep it moving. When we come back, we'll have gone to the moment. we're going to talk about art.
Like sophisticated people.
Sophisticated. But then we are going to do a couple of top five, top three lists of our things associated with New York City. You got to think of something. I'm going to put you on the spot. Jazz is another thing. Has a rich history in New York, right?
Why don't we just move here? We're not coming home.
Yeah.
We're done.
The Game of Solitude is signing out. We have moved to New York City, and it is... You can't find a Cape of Solitude in New York City. Alright. Condos and my condos, I want a rower. Christie's with my Missy, live at the MoMA. Bacon's and turkey bacon, smelly aroma. Oh, what a feel. Okay, we are, what is it, 3 hours in? If not more, being in the MoMA.
MoMA.
The MoMA. Daph J, how's your experience been at the Museum of Modern Art?
My feet are on fire.
the insoles aren't helping?
They are. I think the only reason I'm still going is because of the plantar fasciitis insoles that were provided for me since my last trip here.
Almost killed your feet.
Yeah.
So, in the different exhibitions of art and the going on the floor with classic art such as Van Gogh, Monet, Picasso. And then now we just finished the floor that had an exhibit on photography art.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit, there's some stuff that I really, really enjoy, and then I get into other areas where I'm trying to force the appreciation for it because I feel this is important to somebody, and this is an expression. It's an expression of somebody's experience, their story, or whatever the case may be, so I want to appreciate it, and so I just can't get into it. I'm just like, that's not for me. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to force it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that I do appreciate so much more, and it helps you kind of change perspectives, and certain people's art and the story they tell. Like, we went to the exhibit with Adrian Piper, who I knew nothing about until I came here.
Nathan.
But in looking at her body of work, it ranges from that classic art of drawing and painting and sculptures to using shapes and studying time and space with minimalistic art. And then she even became an object of art herself in the sense that she would go out in public in New York City and do like a performance in either a bar where she would be an object of some sort, and just to see how people would interact and treat her, which I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you find the Adrian Piper exhibit?
My initial was WTF. I honestly didn't know what I was looking at. One of the things that I first encountered, the initial feeling was like, I do this all the time. I doodle. I can do this. How come I should put it in a frame and go about my business?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. But it seemed so, how do I say? I can't think of it. What was your question?
Oh, just the Adrian Piper, not knowing anything about her, and then going to...
Right, so the initial work that I saw, I thought it was a little simple,
mm-hmm,
and basic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like squares.
Right.
And squares and squares. And I'm like, okay, well, what's so fascinating about this? And then as time went on, I got to appreciate a little bit of what she was trying to say. It wasn't just a simple something. She was actually commenting on society and how the world functions and how dysfunctional it is based on what she was doing. So I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It, as her work progressed into like the 80s and when she was commenting on...
And I think it went in order of, like, her life, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
So when she was very, 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 like, yeah, not very, like, young.
The early days of her.
Where I think where people feel like they can experiment and take chances and risky, and they don't really, they're kind of finding themselves,
mm-hmm,
kind of trying to figure out what,
mm-hmm,
they're trying to do. Some things were a little bit like, what?
And then in the middle, it started becoming like there was a purpose to her art.
Yeah.
And she wasn't just, I think you're the one that pointed out she was a little bit into the numbers and stuff.
Yeah, well, she was when she was into the minimalistic art, but also about structure. She was studying time and space and how it all related to what you put on a page and how much you can fit into. And what was interesting about it was all typewritten, but she was writing sentences in a certain order, in a certain measurement of the page, and all of this kind of stuff. And you can see a symmetry or a design that gets that becomes formed by it. And I remember hearing. Not that this is related, but it kind of is related. At the latest Comic-Con in Toronto, when they were doing a panel on Howard Chaykin, he said something to the effect that a comic book page is a translation of time from one start of the page to the other. You're capturing time in a certain frame of viewpoint. And I had never really seen it that way, but understanding what can happen on a piece of paper in those regards is a very interesting way of approaching art. What I appreciated from these exhibits was that art is, like we all know, is in the eye of the beholder, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but there's a mathematical way of approaching art and making things fit to evoke emotion. Mm-hmm. And then there's the surrealist way of using images and things that may come to you in a certain frame of mind that you put on there to express yourself. And then there's the use of like paints and how to throw them on a canvas like Jackson Pollock. And you look at it and it's a complete mess. Doesn't seem like there's any order to it anymore.
I have to say, I went in and saw a couple of things in my initial viewings of some workings and thought I didn't appreciate it.
No.
To me, it just initially looked like a hot mess.
Right.
And I didn't get it. And to be honest, it was frustrating. Because I figured there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why this is, you know, this work is praised.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason why it's in a museum. And I want to be able to experience that appreciation. So sometimes, as much as I enjoy being here, sometimes it's a little overwhelming because I don't quite get what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little disheartening sometimes because then I'm feeling like, well, what am I
missing?
What am I missing?
Well, sometimes, but you did end up getting it when you stepped back and looked at it from a different distance, a different angle. And I remember you saying like, oh yeah, I like that. Even though I don't get it, I like it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get into the beauty of a person's expression by, oh, this person experimented with the different types of paint and what they use to throw paint on the canvas and which colors they mix together. There's a certain alchemy of it that becomes something
mm-hmm.
that is special. And then there's people who have the definite, like they're painters and they were using the cubist, like Picasso used the cubist form to be abstract and painting his girlfriend or his wife or whoever it was. And it was like, that's an ugly person, but it's their way of using the shapes it's just so interesting that art is in everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to us seeing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we never consider ourselves skilled or trained or gifted to be artists. There's this thing that you got to be gifted to be an artist.
Yeah.
And you do, but I think the gift comes in your ability to free your mind of the limitations of what you're capable of. And I think we all have artistic moments that we never feel validated to put down on paper because it's like it's not good.
Yeah.
And that is not really up to us to decide. It's up to people to appreciate it.
Well, we're our hardest critics, right?
Yeah.
So it's always a little bit more, you take it more personal, as opposed to, I think, at least for myself, I'm at the ready to accept someone else's work and be like, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it is good.
And someone's telling you it's good. That adds to it too, right?
I agree with you, but I am talking on a personal level. Like if a friend of mine does something artistic, I guess because I know that I can't even fathom the idea of doing something remotely close to what they're doing, that is good. Like that is their skill, and I will praise that. But perhaps they'll think that they could do more. Do you know what I mm-hmm. do? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We always appreciate what other people sometimes do, and from the artists that I've met and befriended, they're their own harshest critic. It's very rare that you meet artists who think that they're great, and the ones that do, you're like, oh, you're a jackass.
And she just fell asleep, and her kid's right there sneezing. Wow. look, she really fell asleep.
Oh, yeah, she's out hard. That's like a magic trick.
What's going to happen to this kid? I'm not taking it home.
No, you don't have to. Okay, so
what was the weirdest thing you've seen?
Weirdest thing I've seen, I think, is like the rooms you go into that look like people are putting things away, but that's actually an art piece. Like, they left a can of paint out, there's a bench turned over, and a couple of Hot Wheel cars on the floor, and they're like, don't touch it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a piece. Sorry. Stuff like that kind of trips me out.
Like, if that was a child's toy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's those type of things where I'm like, okay, sure. I realize, it shouldn't really be a realization, but I realized that my favorite type of art are the ones that potentially have a story attached to the image.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can, or the way things are placed, the images that are chosen to be put in certain places are communicating a message.
Mm-hmm.
I like that mm-hmm. type of art. How about for you?
The weirdest thing I've seen?
The weirdest thing you've seen.
The walkthrough in the modern photography thing where you kind of... There was a... What's it called? Like a warning saying that there would be some graphic photos that not everyone would appreciate. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. Like, this is art. Yeah. We're here to experience art. And then all of a sudden it was like a walkthrough.
Right.
Like wall to wall, inch by inch. Like... Women giving birth, like Polaroids of women, full out, vaginas open, like natural birth, blood in the water. It was, I didn't know what I was looking at until I knew what I was looking at, and I'm like, this is not.
I walked through there a little slower than you.
You did, and you know what? I appreciate that you had the patience to do that, because when you came back to me, you explained
how the person put that piece together.
The perception, the idea of what they were, why they did what they did.
Right.
And what did you come back with?
Well, one of them was that it was the value of what women do that's either vocalized or done that visibly or invisibly. So there's lots of things that women do that we oftentimes don't see. Or that's very empowering, that is goes unnoticed. But the way that she collected the pieces or the pictures, they weren't her own photographs. They were things that she had collected from different books, medical books, magazines, books that were empowering to women, all these different things that she would find at garage sales. And she said the more that we go into a digital era and analog is being weeded out, it's more of a time for us to be collecting these things, because we're not going to have these physical things anymore that are in their original state to enjoy. And it just kind of dawned on me, because I'm a person who enjoys a tangible thing. I've never got into like digital books too much or digital comics or things like that. I'm starting to appreciate digital things in regards to the lack of space that we're being given. But it also is a way, I feel, to control what you view, how you view it, how much you view of something. It's very much a controlled thing now, and it can be tampered with and edited out, whereas my physical comic book is my physical comic book, unless the printer at the publisher, wherever they print it, something happens and a page doesn't come through. That's one thing, but having that physical comic book always feels a little bit better than, I don't know, the digitized file of it. For me, and I've always said I like the tactileness of a CD and all those type of things, but to hear it put in a way where it's being taken away from you, it makes me nervous.
What I took away from what you said to me, I immediately just went to, well, if we're living in a digital age, what happens is a lot of the things we do become disposable.
Yeah.
You can retake as many things, as many photographs as you want, and then just delete, or just store them, and it's unbeknownst to us taking up space in our devices,
mm-hmm.
and we never really refer back to them. We forget that they're there. Only when do we need to clean up are, and I mean, and I'm speaking from personal experience, right? Like, I do have my photos stored on, like, I know where everything is and everything's labeled and organized, but back in the day, they used to put pictures in photo albums, and you used to have something that you can flip through and actually recall, as opposed to now, you can take, you know, 300 photos of the same thing, keep them all, but not appreciate why you took them at all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, that's what came to mind when you told me about that. So yeah. Then I was like, I had this revolutionary epiphany. Of just like, I'm going to take my Nikon camera everywhere now, and I'm not going to search for the perfect moment. I'm just going to take the moment and kind of rekindle that, my hobby of photography. I'm not at all a professional. I'm very much an amateur, but I do like capturing the naturalness of everything.
Yeah, and you can see the skill of a person who is a good photographer because they've got an eye for things. There's some people who have the technicality. Like, you got some artists, even that you meet at shows, who the technique that they have of how good they are, it's there.
It's their own.
It's their own. Or they're just masters at anatomy, or they're just masters at perspective, or those things. Like, they're good technical artists, but they don't evoke the emotion in the book that you're trying to read. Or and same with a picture. A person can take a great picture with all the colors of the day, but a good photographer has the eye to say that picture is good. There's something there that you're not seeing that I can see, whether or not you have the know-how of all the doodads on the camera of how they work. Mm-hmm. And for those who are listening, wondering why I'm talking in a monotone, it's because I'm in a museum and I'm trying to be respectful. Shall we keep it moving?
Sure.
All right. We will be back with you guys soon and checking in on the next thing that we're at. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's your most exciting thing before we go?
In the museum?
Yeah. We had the weirdest thing we saw.
The coolest thing. There was, and part of the Adrian Piper exhibit, she had a portion of her, I don't want to say story, but some of her pieces were called Everything Will Be Taken Away. Mm-hmm. And different photographs, pieces of art that expressed that sort of idea. And I really liked sitting in that, or being in that room and taking it all in and thinking about that. I thought that was interesting. How about you?
I saw the Van Gogh.
Oh yeah, the Starry Night.
In real life.
Yes.
I've only ever seen that picture in books, and I saw it in person, and like seeing Picasso stuff. Like, it was like Picasso and friends. I was like,
Picasso and friends.
On that level.
It's like you're in an art museum.
Yeah.
All right. We'll check in with everybody soon. All right. We are now walking through Central Park. Turned out to be a beautiful day. Beautiful Lady J.
Hello.
Daphne's got her camera with her, doing her best Peter Parker impression, taking photos of just about everything. And we are just walking by the famous fountain in Central Park that you have seen in many a movie, such as one of Daph J's favorites,
When Harry Met Sally.
And if you watch most romantic comedies that are set in New York, this famous statue, where I cannot find the plaque for the life of me of what it's called, it's a statue of an angel, and it looks like it's dropping food to the pigeons or something like that, and underneath it is the cherubs. But it's beautiful sculpture. It's got it's the spot that everybody wants to come to. People propose here. Some people stage their proposals so that they go with photos like we saw today.
That was a little disappointing.
And you thought you were capturing a moment when you're taking those pictures.
Yeah, and then this wench decides to take off her jacket. She's fully geared up, top to bottom in white, with these Louis Vuitton shoes. And like, I'm like, you know what? Trick?
Trick?
Liar.
Did you go up to her and say, you know what? Trick?
I said a couple of things under my breath. I was a little judgmental.
Okay. Well, it turned out to be a beautiful day from the rain that we had this morning. Now it's blue skies, mild weather, and it feels like spring is in the air. So speaking of this spot, Daph J, and
the New York City itself being such a centerpiece for so many different movies and films, I want to talk to you about some of your favorite movies that come to mind whenever you feel New York sick. That's not the right word. Homesick for New York. Okay, that you might pop in to get the ambiance of the city. It may not be like the best movie ever as far as it being critically acclaimed or whatnot, but it is those movies that you put in just to get the feel of New York. The way you kind of put in Ocean's 11 to see Vegas.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Okay, got yeah.
All right, so you go first. You said When Harry Met Sally, which is clearly one of our favorites that we've talked about. We should do a full episode of it, but I think we talked about it enough that people were like, yeah, we get it, you like the movie. Do you have another pick?
Yes.
Go right ahead and share it with us.
Have you ever heard of a movie called A Bronx Tale?
Of course I heard of a movie, A Bronx Tale. That's a fantastic pick and a great movie. I actually wanted to take you to watch the Broadway show for The Bronx Tale that they have here. But somebody is scared of Broadway. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't like singing. And when I think Broadway, I'm thinking that's what they're going to do. I don't like singing. I don't like
musicals.
That's the word.
Okay. So.
But I love it.
You love The Bronx Tale movie.
It's one of the few movies I feel that De Niro plays like a good guy.
He's not the mobster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He actually directed, I think, The Bronx Tale as well as the Broadway show.
And the Broadway show?
Yeah. I think that's if I read correctly. That was actually, we haven't mentioned his name yet on the show, but that was actually the Shane Herons pick for one of his favorite New York films. And, pardon?
Good pick.
Daphne's taking pictures of, what are you taking a picture of right now? That's a block wall.
Look at that.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Thank you.
Bronx Tale is a great one. And what I like about Bronx Tale is that it really captures life in a pocket of the city, that to really show the community and the era that they were in, you know, talking about the Yankees and talking about the mob and the culture between Italian people and the rest of the neighborhood at that time, which was kind of like hotbed for potential but just, you know, that racial unrest at the time.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it was, what I liked about that movie was that it
can you get that in the
recording? Oh, this is the horses. That's one of the most relaxing sounds in the world to me, hearing the horses walk along. It did something a little bit different during a time where that wasn't the norm.
Yes.
Okay. Bronx Tale would have been one of my picks. You stole it from me. So now I'm going to steal one of your picks.
Okay.
Coming to America.
That's an excellent. Can I put that on my list too?
You can put that on your list too.
Excellent.
That was on Martin Slam Duncan's list. So we're stealing from both of them right now. But how could you not? That's a great movie because it's a great pick. Because it's people coming to the city for the first time and adapting to the culture that they think
city
is
life. Keep going, because I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, he comes from being the king of Zamunda. I was going to say Wakanda. The king of Zamunda, and then he comes here being completely normal, not wanting anybody to really know who he is, and being extremely friendly and happy because he's on this adventure. The rudeness of New York and being in Queens, where he thinks he's going to find his queen, is absolutely hilarious. But it is a great pick for getting a taste of New York City. Pardon the wind, I don't have the cover on my microphone, so you guys are going to get the full effect of walking in New York City as well as a little bit of the wind that is hitting me right now. FJ, another movie pick for you? That was not a horse. That was Tap J thinking.
I got such a good one, and you don't even know what's going to hit you with this one because it's so good, and you're going to regret not saying it first. And I'm so happy. It just popped up. Fell on me.
Fell on you like a pigeon.
That's right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
definitely has the grittiness of New York City at that time.
Man, you got to see like upstairs and downstairs.
You got to see the sewers.
Yeah, you got the full effect.
Yeah, that is a great one. Good pick. Good pick.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm so proud of that one. I didn't even realize what was happening until it was happening. Because I'm a little bit keep just a little. I'm a little unprepared, so I'm not. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. A movie that is a very obvious one for people our age because it was targeted to our age group, but it's basically a travel agency's advertisement to come to New York, which is Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Oh, crowd of people. Home Alone 2, good one? No, not a good one? You're quiet about it.
Yeah,
is it because you grew up in New York, basically? So seeing a kid go to New York wasn't a big deal, and you were never lost here? Like, what's the deal? He goes to the toy store. He's in a hotel room, like a real hotel. Was it the Royalton he went to?
No, I think it was the Plaza.
The Plaza. He was at the Plaza. He had a room to himself. Not just a room, like a suite. He had a limousine driver. He had the Talk Boy. Remember the Talk? I wanted that thing so bad.
Coming again.
Oh, here are the horses. It's like you're walking in the park with us. Yeah, the Talk Boy. Is that what it was called? The thing where you can manipulate your voice when you record on that.
Oh, that's right. I remember when that came out.
Man, that
I remember the commercials.
It was a real Walkman that you could record on and manipulate your voice. I wanted one of those so bad. He goes to the toy store. You see him in the taxi cab coming from the airport on the bridges. You see him running through Central Park away from Marv and Harry. You see him meet the pigeon lady in Central Park. What else did he do? He goes to the Rockefeller Center where he meets his mom. That's where she finds him.
Is that where she finds him? I don't even remember.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like a tourist guide to what to see and do in New York. Just watch Home Alone 2 Lost here. Lost in New York.
That sounds like great fun for you. I feel like maybe you want to watch it today.
And that was another one on Shane Heron's list, if I'm not mistaken. We got a lot of the same taste. I'm stealing all his answers. Next one for you.
Oh, man. Me? Yeah. Again? How about you go again? Because I can't. I don't know.
I thought you were so proud of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was so proud. Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2.
No, you can't do it. That's lame. That's lame. You can't just take sequels. All right. I got one.
Okay, go.
This is another kind of, it's not coming to America, but it's kind of in the vein of taking a fish out of water, putting them into the big city. And the movie starts off in Australian outback, and you take this guy from the Australian outback and you put him in the heart of the Big Apple, and he's all with the hoity-toity people. Crocodile Dundee.
Nobody likes hoity-toity people.
But the thing is, nobody thinks they're a hoity-toity.
Do you think I'm a hoity-toity?
I think sometimes you could be a hoity-toity.
I think it's preference.
I think sometimes you could be a hoity-toity.
Really?
For those listening to the show, write in if you think Daphne's a hoity-toity.
That's terrible! What, because I don't like to shake people's hands? That makes me hoity-toity? That makes me a germaphobe, not a hoity-toity. Come on.
You don't like people. You kick people on the train who look at you funny.
No, I kick people that sit on my coat or think that they can wedge themselves in between me and another person.
I don't think a hoity-toity would have said Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and have been proud of it.
So I'm not hoity-toity?
We're going to get the listeners to write in and tell us.
Oh, no.
Okay, there's so many picks we can go with. So it doesn't have, you don't have to feel like this has got to be a great film to really show, to prove your, you know, your knowing of New York or your taste in films. Just ones that are fun, that make you want to come back here.
Give me a minute. Let me stand still. Friggin'. All right. I don't like this movie because it makes me sad, but it's another New York movie. And it takes you through all the avenues. Even the subway.
Okay.
I'll say Godzilla.
Really? That movie, the 1997 Godzilla.
Yeah.
That's the one I remember. My phone is right here. I got it. This phone has been falling out of my lap the whole plane ride. So Godzilla with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, it was funny.
funny.
It was funny. The people were kind of funny.
Okay, I guess so. But you seem like a person who would have liked that movie as a kid.
I did. I like monster movies. I just don't like when the monster is a good monster and it dies.
The monster that dies is usually not a good monster because it's eating and hurting people.
But it was doing that to survive.
So if you had to pick King Kong or Godzilla?
Oh, no.
Both are iconic.
That's like asking me to pick between a dachshund and a Labrador. It's impossible.
Very simple. You go with the Labrador.
Have you seen a dachshund, though? The long-haired dachshund?
Of course I've seen the long-haired dachshund.
Oh, my goodness. They look like mad scientists. They're so adorable. They're so good.
You're hilarious right now. Okay. Okay. So you pick Godzilla.
Yeah.
Or, all right. That's a good one. Let me think here. There's so many we could go with. I mean,
we're walking way in the other direction.
That's all right. That's all right. We're going in. Why don't we? Can we go on that side? We're about to go into like a big. It's okay. Let's keep going. We're in New York.
What's over here? What's in a big what?
Just a big crowd of people. But it's okay. We'll bypass.
Okay,
all right. Another big crowd of people's coming at us. Okay. A movie that I think is definitely, if they were ever going to make a top 10 movies that take place in.
I'm sorry to interrupt you because it's. I just need to say, it's not that I like Godzilla. I don't think it's a good movie. I don't think it's hilarious.
We've established that, though.
But it's a movie that takes place, and like I said, because she goes everywhere, right? So, you get to see things.
So, you get to see the city. It's a great, like, taste tester of being able to see the city.
From what I remember, I'm on the spot here, man. What do you want me to do?
All right, fair enough. So, what I was going to say, I think a essential movie for the city of New York. It had two parts, got a sequel to it. Actually, they've come out with a remake for it. But as far as how it used the city as a character in some literal ways, I gotta go with Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
That's a good pick. That's good.
Because you get you're in Central Park, you're at the Statue of Liberty comes to life in part 2.
Even the library is a big character in the movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's so much of New York infused into like essential parts of the story.
By the way, I have a library card to the New York Public Library, just in case you wanted to know that.
Did you bring it with you?
It's not here.
Okay,
with me.
So it's useless.
it
like
was
a three-legged horse.
It was an FYI. I didn't say it was practical or useful.
You're such a dork. Okay. Any more New York movies that come to mind?
Oh. You go one more time.
Oh, man. Another one that comes. Well, yeah, they just went right through.
No, not that.
Oh, the kid? Father and son bike riding through Central Park,
but
just
like
bypassing.
Speedo.
In the what?
In the Speedo suit.
How about Spider-Man? I gotta say, the Spider-Man movies really do use New York as a character. Homecoming especially did a really good job of that, because you got a...
Everybody's looking at you, talking into this thing,
yeah.
And they're figuring out. And then because I have sunglasses, so they think I'm a celebrity.
Isn't that good? You like it? But you got a camera.
Yeah. Well, okay, fine.
You got to put it away.
Dead giveaway.
Yeah. If you didn't have the camera, they might think you were someone important. I think Spider-Man Homecoming did a good job because it takes you on certain things that are extremely authentic to New York, such as the Staten Island Ferry. The scene where Iron Man comes into the picture to save the day, or the Iron Man suit comes into the equation to help Spidey. But that's, Spider-Man is, I feel, one of those, there's certain things I immediately associate with New York, and out of all of the superheroes, I mean, Daredevil, Hell's Kitchen, but as far as like the whole city of New York, I think Spider-Man is like, would you agree? Would you say Spider-Man, or would you say someone else?
But I would have to agree with your pick.
What about as a, like the character, a superhero character that embodies everything New York? Would you say Spider-Man, or would you say like Daredevil or Jessica Jones or Captain
Daredevil
America?
For sure.
More than Spidey?
I wouldn't say more, but yeah, hands down, Daredevil.
Daredevil? I mean, Superman in Metropolis is basically New York City, but they base Metropolis off of Toronto.
Do they really?
Yeah, well, originally the newspaper that he worked for was called the Daily Star.
Disgusting. Did you hear him hork that? He's running and all of a sudden, and then he just spits it out. It wasn't even like that manly one wad. It was spritzy. It's disgusting.
What does that have to do with movie picks?
So, I'm sorry, I'm also people watching here as I go through the... Okay. This is a great shot. Why did I put... Here. Keep going. Keep talking.
Okay. Do you have any more picks? We can end this segment now. We're going to have more segments.
I'll give you another one.
All right. You got one?
Yes, it's a girly movie.
No.
Very much
that's
out of my element.
You being a girl and all.
I enjoyed it. Okay. You know what movie I liked? I like Nanny Diaries. Have you ever heard of that?
I went to the theater to watch it with you. Have I ever heard of it?
Come on. And I bought it for you. That is a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
Because you want to know what? Look, there's a lot of New York movies out there. And for some reason, I can't think of any. But there's so many. I'm going to kick myself after.
There's movies that have the title New York in them, like Gangs of New York or Muppets in New York. Muppets in New York is a good one.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying how you went from Gangs of New York to Muppets in New York. That's a good one, Eric.
It is a good one.
Put that on your list right now.
Muppets in New York.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's an excellent one. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
Nanny Diaries.
You want to know why? Because a lot of New York movies sometimes, like you said, the Bronx Tale had that pocket story. Or you got ones, like, in Brooklyn and whatnot. But, like, this one was, like, the Upper East Side. Like, that life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And unless these movies... like didn't exist or existed, what? Unless these movies were made, I wouldn't know what that life's all about.
Right,
that's cray, cray. You know, that's a crazy. You know when you take an elevator and you step out and you're already in your living room.
Right.
That's that kind of life.
Yeah, it's true. It's one of those things. It's the movie that kind of shows. Who lives in that house? Like, who lives here? And then you're like, oh, those type of people live there.
Right.
Okay, you know...
Most of the times, they're not even there. They're in the Hamptons.
Right. And they... Or...
About
the yeah, you're going on your 40-40 rant. You know, actually, we recently saw that movie, Begin Again, and that kind of was a big inspiration for me to come on this specific trip, because in the movie, they specifically go to different spots to be outside recording the music, and you really get to see the city in all of its different elements. You get the alleyways, you get the park, you get the rooftops, you get all of these, and people, you know, playing stickball or all these different things that really made me say, I want to go back and walk through those different types of places again. So that, I think, I mean, it's a recent movie that I've seen, but it gives you that New York feel.
Yeah. I felt it, and it wasn't forced.
No, you know, that was the thing. There wasn't anything that was, like, obvious. Like, oh, they're going to get together, aren't they? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't one of those type of movies.
You want more nuts?
Not yet. The Nuts for Nuts in New York City is a must try. The food stands that are all over the city, I love them.
They should bring that to Toronto. They don't have it. And they're warm. When they give you the nuts, the bag is warm. Did I just say warm nuts?
Yeah, you did. You're talking about warm nuts in your mouth. Kind of gross.
Okay. Yeah, like, let's remember we're adults here.
anything else before we wrap this segment up?
Don't you have another? Hey, did he neigh?
Did he what?
Did he neigh?
Who neighed?
The horse, obviously.
I don't know what that
I thought
means.
I heard a neigh.
No, I didn't.
Don't they? Isn't that what they do? They neigh?
No.
That's not a word?
I think it's a word. I just don't know exactly. What's the sound of a neigh?
I'm not doing that. I'm not falling into that trap. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
I can't believe I just did that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's the sound.
Okay, you have to pick another one?
You gotta pick. I've been picking them all. That's not a horse.
Oh, I almost forgot. This one's fun for me.
Okay.
And I also found it educational.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Night at the Museum.
That's a good one.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's most movies that take place in New York are fun, at least.
Yes.
Right? Even if they're not great movies.
Well.
But Night in the Museum was a good movie.
Yeah. Well, that's the tiniest dog I've ever seen in my life. What is it? It's wearing a jersey.
A jersey?
Okay, your turn.
I'm going to go with a romantic comedy. Anytime I feel like seeing scenery in New York, I pop this in. It, again, not the best romantic comedy, but one that I have sentimental value to me, is Hitch with Will Smith, Kevin James, and Eva Mendes.
Do you feel that that's like... the thing is, with New York movies, I find that, and you said this before, which is why it's kind of started this whole thing, New York itself is a character in the movie that's being... the story that's being told in the movie. And I don't know, I know they showed stuff. I mean, I know they went to the island.
Ellis Island.
But I don't remember that movie so much to say that you saw New York.
Really? Oh yeah, big time.
Other than going around the Hudson, oh my goodness. Wait a minute, no, that's not a New York movie.
Which one were you going to say?
I was going to say National Treasure, but I don't think it's
New York. They come to New York.
They come to New York, but it's not a New York movie.
No, but there is an element that brings you to New, like it ends on the whole movie ends in New York. It's like Avengers, like the whole battle in Avengers is in New York City.
It will make sense though, right? Because aren't a lot of the characters.
The whole story should take place in New York, really.
That's what I mean though, because aren't they mostly from here anyway?
This is true. All right, we're gonna end this segment. If any more pop into our head, we'll write it down.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in. It's beautiful Brooklyn. Long as I live here.
All right, we are back. This is day three. Sunny Sunday morning with yours truly, Eric Anthony, and
Lady J.
And we are walking now across the greatest bridge in all of the world, in all of the USA, but in all of the world. FJ, where are we?
BK!
Across the Brooklyn Bridge, and Daphne's taking some awesome shots, pictures, helping people take pictures, being a good citizen. You like people in New York City for some reason?
New York gives me a different vibe. I'm in a different mood. I tolerate a little bit more New York. I guess because I have to. For example, yesterday, guess what we did?
What do we do?
Went to Mocha Fest.
What is the Mocha Fest for those who may not know what that is?
Okay,
Did we talk about it before?
I don't know, but we're going to do it again. It's like a indie comic thingamajigger.
Indie comic con.
here. And what was specifically or precisely or strangely... unique about me going there is that I went period. And you would think that...
You went period or you went...
I went at all, period. Okay, like, okay. Point blank. Like, I was there.
Right.
And that for anybody who's been listening or knows me, I don't do too well in crowds. However, I even surprised myself that in one of the most crowded cities in the world, that's where I decided to go to a Comic-Con.
How did you find the atmosphere?
That's the bike
thing. How did you find the atmosphere of it, seeing that it was an indie Comic Con as opposed to anything you've been to in the past has been heavily, you know, popular comics and popular, well-known artists, whereas this one, there were some well-known people, but that wasn't the selling point of it. How did you find that new atmosphere of it?
I thought there was some really strange, bizarre products in this place. What it intrigued me to begin with, the selling point from you was that the makers from March were going to be there.
Right.
And you got some pretty good intel from them.
That's some intel.
very, very nice guys. They're so nice, lovely people. They seem to denote who... how do I say it?
Embody
the people that the thing that they were trying to what's it called?
The story.
Yeah.
They were trying to tell. I'm Def J.
You know what it is? I'm people watching, so I get distracted a little bit. Yeah, the thing that they were doing, it seemed like it was really them. You know what I mean? It wasn't just a political stance or just them trying to... Their message is what they really believe, and they embody that positivity, which I really liked.
Yeah, it's refreshing to see that the people behind a creative work that you enjoy are as good as the intent of their product.
Yeah.
So now we are on the Brooklyn Bridge, heading over into Brooklyn from Manhattan. This is the one day where it's just a free open day where we can do whatever it is that we want to do. So I'm thinking we should. I mean, every day was one of those days, but we have nothing booked. There's no place to be. So what I'm thinking we could do today as we're heading off into Brooklyn, we can continue our New York themed episode. We did some movies that make us feel, want to revisit New York, or movies that are New York centric. So now I want to do some music that is New York centric to you, Lady J. So what I'm thinking is, give me your top albums, your top hip-hop albums that for you embody New York City. And if you can't think of albums, maybe a song or something of that nature that you like, that is the city.
Illmatic.
The whole album.
Reasonable Doubt.
Great album.
Biggie. Anything Biggie.
Anything Biggie makes you feel New York?
That's the king of New York. Of course. Who wouldn't have him on the list?
Okay. Who is the king of New York when now that Biggie for last 20 something years is no longer with us? Who took that mantle of representing the city the way he did?
I don't know. I know for a while, at least when we were in high school, in our era, there was that Jay-Z Nas battle.
Yeah. Do you ever think of like Wu-Tang Clan when you think of New York City?
I don't.
No?
No, I didn't really listen to a lot of Wu-Tang.
How about another cat from Brooklyn by the name of Mos Def?
That's my boy.
That Black on Both Sides album, like that song Brooklyn, the intro hip hop. I mean, the whole album really embodies just real New York feel. That's an album that we listened to young. I didn't really appreciate it until I got a little bit older, but now it's very authentically New York and specifically Brooklyn. Now that we're walking on the Brooklyn Bridge, it makes me think of that.
I agree. I remember hearing that album and I fell in love with it the first hear.
Yeah.
That was my joint right there.
If I said to you, back in the days when I was a teenager, you could find the abstract.
Listening to hip hop, my pops used to say.
I said you could find the abstract.
Listening to hip hop, bebop. Wait, let's do it again.
Back in the days when I was a teenager,
before I had status and before I had a
pager, you could find the abstract. Listening to hip hop, used to say. My dad used to say, reminded him of bebop. So how do you feel about that?
I had to calm down because I was getting excited.
You're starting to move a little bit hard on
the bridge.
You're shaking the bridge. You're about to do a move.
Oh, so good. So good. Trap Pop Quest.
That's right. So
you can't. Can we just move here already? What are we waiting for? Such history in this place.
So we did an episode with you on making a mixtape. Bad J makes a mixtape, and you picked some pretty good tracks. Some of it wasn't all from New York City, New York centric artists. But for you, what is the appeal of New York hip hop specifically? That kind of it digs at your soul. That appeals to you.
Sorry, I was listening to a song in my head. Say that.
What song were you listening into your head?
I was listening to the rest of I was singing it in my head. I kept going.
So you're not talking.
After the bebop, I went on the fly.
You went on.
my mind went places. I'm sorry. Go ahead. One more time. Let's do it.
Oh, definitely. What is it about New York hip-hop specifically that appeals to you, that kind of, you know, brings you back to the core of, because I mean, you're not, maybe you are, you're the first person to push someone off the train and take old ladies and stuff like that, but What is it about New York hip hop for you that speaks to your soul?
To me, it just seemed, I wouldn't use the word gritty.
Okay.
But it had a, it just had a like a, see, you can't ask me questions like that and expect me to know what to say right now.
Why not? I want you to speak.
It was deep. Hip hop was deep. Hip hop was poetic. And it had so many, and the thing is, hip hop isn't just one thing. Like people, some people think that, oh, it's just like, they're just saying stuff. They're not really, what is that? But hip hop can be, it's derived from jazz. It's derived from funk. It's derived from any type of genre in which, you know what I mean? Like it could be so many things, and it could say so much. And there's a skill behind the English language, to me, that the pairing of words and with such fluidity, I don't know. There's an immaculate art to it, and I don't think people give it credit the way it deserves.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think that for me,
you're talking hip hop in general, or just New York hip hop.
Well, I mean hip hop in general, but because this is like the birthplace of it, you know, this is where it branched out. The roots are here; it's undeniable. So, if you're a real, I think a real hip hop fan or grew up listening to it, you've got to have something connected to this place. Do you know what I mean?
And even though like New York is the city, like a lot of artists that come from specific boroughs, they would rep their borough, and there was a uniqueness to each one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a different style, there was a flow, and you knew, oh, that cat's from Queens.
Or a slang.
Or that cat was from Brooklyn, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why are we stopping? What's happening here?
I'm not sure. We're stuck in a group of people, and okay, it's not moving. And we know how you get.
I'm getting annoyed. Getting hot.
So, for me, when I think of the music, it comes from a place of desperation and hunger and desire, and you take nothing that, you know, that generation was given, so much was taken away from that generation and what they created out of having no more instruments in school and no more their voices not really being heard, and you hear.
Isn't that all music though?
It is, but because that was one that directly affected my generation of growing up and where I went to school or things like that, it for me, it's my version of jazz because I didn't get to live through the 60s of the jazz renaissance and things like that. So these guys were, in a lot of ways, my jazz artists who took parts of the jazz music that we grew up, or now that we appreciate as older people, and infused it into this new music to revitalize it and tell their story. But yeah, there's a certain detail to it. And like you said before, a certain grittiness and an honesty. And sometimes the honesty that makes people uncomfortable is one of my favorite things. That's what I personally appreciate about it. It taught me about a part of life that I may not have directly been exposed to, but it helped me to understand people. Do you agree, or do you get what I'm trying to say?
I agree.
You better agree. So, okay, let us continue with some more New York talk. We went to a diner today, the Second Avenue Diner Deli, that we saw on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And you're a big fan of stand-up comedy. Who are some of your favorite comedians?
You know who I saw last night?
Tell me who you saw last night. This is correct. We did something exciting and we almost forgot. Who did you see last night?
I saw Steve Harvey. I saw Trevor Noah. I even got a little Nick Jonas.
and which one were you most excited to see?
I like Trevor Noah. If we're going to talk about comedians, I really like Trevor Noah because just kind of like what you say, in that raw honesty, that thing that happens where someone can take something but actually speak sense and bring to light certain truth. And I like the way he does it. And he's very smart. He seems very smart and educated. And I need to take a picture of this right here. So he's in one.
All right. Daft J is going to be taking a picture of, we're now in Dumbo, and there is a great...
You know what Dumbo stands for?
What does Dumbo stand for?
Down, under, but Manhattan... Hold on, Dumbo. Down, under, Manhattan, bridge, overpass.
I like it. I believe you, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. Makes
and
perfect sense.
They said overpass because who wants to live in dumb? I imagine they added the O for that.
I would agree.
That's not my joke. It's not original. I've heard it before. I think it's hilarious though.
I like it though. Okay, so tell me about the Trevor Noah you were saying.
Oh, I like Trevor Noah.
That's it. We're done. Facts.
Facts.
Top five comedians that you can think of.
Bill Burr.
Not a New Yorker, but I like it.
I feel like he could be my brother.
Yeah.
Or a cousin twice removed.
From brother to cousin twice removed. Okay.
I know not from New York, but you asked me who my favorite
comedian
is.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I like Bill Burr.
Right.
I like Chris Rock.
Yeah, Chris Rock.
Like, he's about that beat your children till, you know, so that they get it. angle.
That's why you like him. Beat the kids. Beat the children, bully the kids.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think he, again, someone, I think that's all comedy, right? You take a truth, but you present it in a way where people can accept it a little bit more, because no one ever wants to talk about the awkward, what's it called? Politically correct stuff.
Right, right, right.
Right? But comedy allows for those conversations to happen, which is why I like to laugh, and I like hearing what people really have to say. And I think Chris Rock does a lot of that.
Brooklyn native.
I love Bill Burr. We said Trevor Noah. I like Bernie Mac.
Yeah, he was good.
I like Bernie Mac. I'm not from New York.
No, I don't think so.
But who else? I like Jerry Seinfeld, my man.
You're not a fan of the Seinfeld
I'm
show,
too.
I'm
not a fan of the entire show. Like, okay. Can we clarify this? I don't necessarily go seeking to watch the show, but if it's on TV, if there's an episode, I reminisce and I have a good time.
Right.
And I really did like the fact that because I need to see the photo. I really like the fact that he really needed to, he made comedy out of just everyday life.
Right.
And really and truly, you can laugh at anything.
It's true.
And I think that helps people like me who can be bitter about a lot of things, where this guy's looking at me as if I'm famous.
Because you are. You're Daft J.
So I like that. I also liked Sinbad.
Really?
I liked Sinbad.
I think he's a New York
Growing up.
Okay.
Well, I haven't seen anything of his lately in the past, I don't know.
Right.
10 years? Even more?
So Sinbad, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld.
And I heard, I could be wrong, could be mistaken, I heard that Sinbad, what he would do is before a show, he would just walk in the city. He would just take a walk prior to any show, and he would develop his material just on the things that he would see.
Is that right?
That's what I remember hearing from someone, and I thought that was pretty...
That's brave.
That is brave, and that's... But again, going back to just laughing at everyday stuff, people, what they say, what you do, you know... Like, okay, for example, yesterday when we were passing by the subway, there was two guys talking to each other, mid-conversation. And then this dude came up out of nowhere. Did we say this on the thing already?
No, we haven't.
This third cat comes out of the steps, out of the subway. And do you want to tell the rest of the story?
If I remember correctly, these two gentlemen were just talking about aging and how, like, you know, the pain in your legs and your joints start to get worse as you age, and this guy comes out of the train saying, "Never mind your joints. Charlie Brown didn't kill himself, and that's it."
Okay, guys, you had to be there.
You had to be there, but it was so random, and it seemed as though he was part of the conversation the whole time.
Yeah, and he just he inserted his opinion, tightened his backpack or his life. But literally, it looked like he was carrying his life with him and took off. And what that told me is, like, you know what? Crazy people can get away with just about anything. And they're fearless. And that's when
But they pack well.
They know where they're going. They have places to be. Have you ever thought about that?
Probably.
How, you know, there's, like, people that aren't right in the mind.
Right.
That get on the subway and like say things and do things and walk up and down, but they never miss their stop. I've thought about that, and I'm like, how is that possible? That they're talking to themselves and they're being erratic. There's this erratic behavior, but they know where they gotta go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that makes me think something. So then, after all that, like I thought about that years ago. I thought of, and then I encountered this thing yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if ever anyone tries to do anything to me or do something that's uncomfortable for me, I think I'm just gonna go batshit crazy. I think that is the what is it when a skunk lifts his
thing? Yeah, your defense mechanism.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do. Like, because you know what, any normal person will just go the other way. They don't pose a threat anymore because now they think I'll do something.
How did we go from talking about Trevor Noah to going crazy on the train? That's amazing.
No, I just rambled nonsense. I still haven't taken this picture. Can you say what are your comments?
Mine are very similar to yours. I like Jerry Seinfeld. Obviously, he's Seinfeld is one of my favorite shows of all time. That's one of the reasons I like New York. Watch the taxi cab coming behind you.
Tell me these things.
I'm trying to tell you these things.
Bill
Burr, like you said, I love the frustration and anger that comes out because I can relate to certain things that he's saying, and it reminds me of you.
Because we both have a zombie apocalypse plan B.
Yeah, that's right. Jim Gaffigan makes me laugh, even though he doesn't do much as far as like. He's not one of those comedians who's overly physical or who moves around the stage a lot, but it's just the little things he says here and there those observations and then commentary on the observation after you've already observed it makes me laugh because he does like those voices in your head type of thing. I also like Sebastian Maniscalco.
I was going to say that.
He makes me laugh.
He's very not in the spot. He does everything.
He keeps it moving. He keeps it moving. And Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, because his is very intelligent, but he plays it off as though it's silly. But there's a lot being said there that if you really listen to it, you can get something out of it. So I like that type of comedy too.
You know what I like about comedians? I like comedians that laugh.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I like that they laugh with the joke.
Yes.
That
yes.
They're telling and that they laugh with like the way people respond to it. Like, they're not just there to do the job, but they're also enjoying their time there.
Now that you mentioned that, Kevin Hart. I'm a big Kevin Hart fan.
Oh yeah.
I can watch Kevin Hart. He's from Philly, yeah. But I think of New York and comedy is one of those things that definitely comes to mind because I think if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Or so Frank Sinatra said in Paul Anka. How about TV shows that are set in New York? You have some TV shows that come to mind for you that are you know, to the core, they are
New York Undercover.
Oh boy. Okay.
What do you mean, oh boy?
You're going 90s.
Have you seen it to know if it's an oh boy comment?
No. I know you're a fan of New York Undercover. Continue. Give me some more.
It was such a good show. It was one of those. For anyone who doesn't know, it was a detective series show that took
place. The guy's name Malik Yorba?
Malik Yoba.
Yoba.
Can we? Okay, now I'm going to step.
Where we are right now is considered to be the most Instagram spot for a photo.
What?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So I don't know if I like that too much.
Why? It's a great shot. Look at it. You got the Empire State underneath the Manhattan Bridge. You have some cars that are coming at you, Daft J. Watch out. So, New York Undercover, okay.
Living Single.
You're going old school. I like it.
I liked it.
Yeah, keep going.
How about you?
Seinfeld.
Don't say Friends.
Seinfeld.
Do not say Friends. That was not New York TV
New
show.
York.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
First of all, there's no apartment in New York City that ever looked that big.
That's not true. But
in
it's fine.
In real life, with people that work at what? What show? What
Central Park?
Did she always work at
Central Perk in Bloomingdale?
And a half and half chef who has a job sometimes and other times doesn't have it. You're gonna have an apartment like that with that many closets? That's not real.
How about Mad About You?
Mad About You was a good show.
How about Mindy Project?
That's a good show.
That's a good show.
It's funny. It's very silly, but it's funny.
Oh, sorry. The cars are driving on the road that they're meant to drive on. I'm sorry, Dav J. I'm trying to think of some other ones on the spot. It is kind of difficult, especially when you're dodging traffic taking photos.
I want these people out of my way. I hate this city. Why is there so many people?
All right, Dav J. Let's wrap this up because I got one bar left on this battery that I thought was brand new. And we will revisit the people a little bit later.
Did you say any other shows?
I said Seinfeld. I'm not allowed to say Friends.
You can say whatever you want. Go ahead.
I would say The Cosby Show, but it didn't really give you like a snapshot of Brooklyn. But they did live in Brooklyn, and that brownstone house that they lived in was incredible.
That's a great show.
That's a great show.
That's one of my favorite shows. Too bad. But it still doesn't take away from what it did for families, huh? Family ties, Yeah, everything about it was amazing.
And I'm going to say Daredevil on Netflix, because that is a different area of New York and at a different time of day all the time, but it's definitely all affected by New York life or the underbelly of New York life.
That Uber car is banged up. Do you see that?
I love your observation. You're not listening to anything I'm saying.
I've seen some bad days on the road.
Maybe that was in Hell's Kitchen.
Maybe.
All right, we will check in with the people later.
You was born in New York City, let me say you know that. I was born in New York City.
New York. New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York.
No doubt. No doubt.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was our trip this year to New York City, episode 111. It ended somewhat abruptly because I ran out of battery. My battery literally died while we were underneath the Brooklyn Bridge taking photos. So we hope you enjoyed your time with us as we traveled through the city, going to the MoMA, going to Mocha Fest, walking on the Brooklyn Bridge, and all the other shenanigans we had going on, the top 10 list, Central Park. We had a great time. We hope you did too. Stay tuned because myself, Eric Anthony, and Lady J will be traveling the globe a little bit more in 2018, and you can bet that we will be podcasting in those locations as well. There's more episodes on the way. If you want to email us, you can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Follow us on Facebook or leave a review on iTunes. Any positive review helps to get the show out there even further. If you like the show, help us out. Thank you again for listening, and we will be back soon.
We got clicks for wreck. We like pits for pets. We got Johnson, Jets, and Knicks, Yanks, and Mets. We like much respect, sex, extra wet, and high-tech dialect you ain't catch yet.